Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Kathleen Ziemer, and she is known as the Butterfly Lady of Iowa. Good morning to you, Kathleen.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Hope you are the same.
Yes, yes. Looking for some sunshine.
Yes. And the butterflies would like that also, I think, to have some sunshine. But they need a little rain, I guess, once in a while, too. So, Kathleen, one of the reasons, you always have interesting things to talk about, but we want to remind people that they could come and know more about you this coming Monday. You're going to be in Atlantic.
I am, and I haven't been down there for a while. I'm looking forward to visiting again.
Yes, she'll be at the Lus Hill Learners at the Cass County Center of Iowa Western Community College starting at 9:30 to 11. And actually that program is open to anyone who'd like to attend. So we can stop on by Iowa Western Community College at 9:30, meet a lot of interesting people, and get to visit with Kathleen. So, you know, it is fall, but there are some important things going on with butterflies right now. It's not just summertime.
Well, the monarch migration has started. We're just seeing some of it in Iowa. If you'll notice that maybe you're seeing monarchs in a southerly flight direction. I've noticed it a little bit in the last couple of days. As it stays cool, you'll start seeing more of it. Butterfly, the monarchs will move out of cool areas into warmer ones. So, and as our because our weather has been so erratic from one week to the next, it's really kind of hard to judge where they're moving or when they'll be moving.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of have to look for the weather to guide you from day to day.
And
they are in northern Iowa.
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's interesting. It's important to kind of be aware of those monarchs because sometimes they're just thick resting on a certain tree or a certain shrub, and it's just almost a miracle. Well, it is a miracle when you see all of them together and know that they're moving on.
Yes, it always amazes me when one that I've held in my hand and tagged, I get the result that it flew 2,000 miles and was recovered in Mexico. I'm constantly amazed by that.
How often does that happen, Kathleen?
I've had three fly over 2,000 miles. We've probably had a dozen returned. I do usually tag between 200 and 300 a year.
Mm.
So, and I've been doing it now for 15 years, tagging.
Yeah, you have to be a little patient about getting those results because,
yes,
as you say, out of that many butterflies, you've heard back from maybe a dozen. And I know that Laura Canning here, our naturalist, does a great job in promoting the tagging and giving programs. And, you know, even if you never wanted to do it, you really should go to one of the programs because you go, how can you tag a butterfly?
That's right. And how do they fly with the tag hanging off of them?
Yeah, exactly. No price there. So that's something that is, I think, could be of interest to everybody. Now, Kathleen, what got you interested in butterflies?
Oh, it was kind of an odd situation. I think sometimes God just puts us in the right place at the right moment and then demands our attention. I worked with my husband on the Sailorville Butterfly Garden. He wanted to do some volunteer work, and I said, sure, I'll go with you. And I'd never paid that much attention to him, like most people don't. And all of a sudden, we were planning for him, and we were looking at him, and we were watching him. And I just got completely fascinated.
Mm. Yeah, so you've
nothing about them doesn't fascinate me.
And you've turned all that joy into a bit of a business.
Yes.
Now, Kathleen, mentioning the garden, the butterfly garden, how many butterfly houses do you have in that garden?
Well, there are some, as a matter of fact. I just think the butterfly houses are as cute as they can be. And the people that came up with the idea and the way they decorate them, they're very, very interesting, and they're so unique. But there are some issues with the butterfly houses. First of all, when we started making them, they made them out of cedar. And cedar's what we put in our hope chest to keep out insects.
Mm-hmm.
And a butterfly is a insect. Then we started painting them, and painting is toxic to butterflies. Butterflies are solar creatures. They go by the sun. They're not going to go into little dark areas.
So they're just, those houses are just for us to enjoy, not the butterflies.
Right, right. And maybe the spiders will get in there and they'll find a home or some, the bees maybe. But no, it's not even on the butterfly's little mind. They know what a zinnia is. They know what a marigold is. This wooden structure, they have not a clue what it is.
Not a clue. You know, but something else about gardens that sometimes you need to be reminded, they do need some water.
Butterflies require a lot of water, and they like clean water, although they'll use anything. They get it from the leaves or from ponds. They get it from, if you have a water feature in your yard, make sure you have splashing rocks, because they'll get it from the rocks. But they do require a lot of water, and when we do exhibits that don't have a water feature, we're constantly spraying water on them.
Okay, good to know. Now, Kathleen, you, as we mentioned, Kathleen Zeemer, she's going to be in Atlantic on Monday, it's September 19th, at Iowa Western Community College, beginning at 9:30. So I mentioned a little bit about business. What kind of business do you do with butterflies?
Butterflies of Iowa is the oldest butterfly breeding and brokerage facility registered in Iowa. I'm registered with the USDA. I'm a member of the Trade Association, and we promote the education of butterflies. Now, a lot of breeders do that by raising butterflies. At the peak of my raising, I raised about 4,000 a year. I've since moved over into the education area where I do the exhibits and presentations, so I'm not raising as many. But most butterflies are raised for exhibits or for release at weddings, funerals, memorials, graduations, birthday parties. Any life celebration is an appropriate place to release butterflies.
And they have so much meaning, and I'm sure in your educational presentations and so on that you do talk about that a bit, and I'm guessing you're going to mention that a bit on Monday.
Yes.
So, Kathleen, the other kind of topic that I wanted to touch on is the whole thing about pollinators. All of a sudden, it seems like pollinators are in the news, as they probably should have been for a long time because they're so important to us. But talk a little bit about butterflies. They're not the only pollinators.
Well, a butterfly's job in the ecosystem is to pollinate, just like bees. But a lot of invertebrates that are in your garden are pollinators. The ones we know the most about are butterflies and bees. But any invertebrate or insect that climbs in and out of flowers is going to pollinate. Nectar is produced by flowers overnight to entice bees and butterflies to feed, because that's what they feed on, and then in that process pollinate. So I think the emphasis started with the monarch question on whether we're losing ground on the number of monarchs, and then in order to benefit all insects became the general pollinator question. There are lots of programs going on with pollinators. There's a group here in Iowa that makes seed balls using common milkweed seeds and mud, and they gave them to the Ragbri people, and they threw out like 40,000 across the state of Iowa to help spread the milkweed seed, which is the only plant that monarchs lay their eggs on and that their caterpillars will eat. They will not do that to any other plant except milkweed.
Okay, when you say milkweed, in many Iowans going, oh, we can't have all those milkweeds all over, but you can also purchase for your garden the other butterfly weeds. Mm-hmm. And are those good for the monarchs also?
They are, and the butterflies will use them. Incarnata is a good one, and so is the annual bloodflower. It's considered an herb, but you can get it at your garden centers. There was a new one out this year called Monarch's Promise, a tricolored plant. I've been testing it this year in Iowa. It seems to be a very good plant for Iowa. I don't think it's a perennial.
Okay.
Look that up, but
okay.
I don't remember.
Possibilities there.
Monarchs they don't use milkweed in fields.
Ah.
The corn gets too tall. They can't get to the milkweed.
Okay. So
they're using the milkweed in the ditches.
All right.
Or in wet areas or something. They're not necessarily using that. Now, the milkweed in the ditches can get runoff from the herbicides that are applied to the corn, but they're not out there in the middle of the cornfield looking for monarch or for milkweed.
Well, if you want to know a lot more about milkweeds, especially about butterflies, then you need to come here, Kathleen Zeemer, on Monday at our Western Community College beginning at 9:30. We want to thank you so much for visiting with us this morning, Kathleen.
Thank you for the interview, for the publicity, and I'm looking forward to being there on Monday.
Okay, great. Thank you much. And until next time, here's a thought. Pierre Amadyar said, it is not really work if you're having fun.